live on DAZN Worldwide.
Saudi Arabia.
Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern. Canelo versus Skull. The King stakes his legacy once more for the undisputed crown. Standing in his way is Warrior Skull, undefeated and poised to decimate the division on a knockout weekend of boxing.
Let's make history.
Get Canelo versus Skull, Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern, live exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You were raised to believe the world was black and white. But what if it isn't? What if the rigid belief system you have never questioned is wrong? What if the world is actually a lot more gray? This show is for the seekers, the explorers, those brave enough to step outside of certainty and question everything. Join your hosts as they sit across from the world's leading thought leaders, visionaries, religious gurus, entrepreneurs, philosophers, and more to tackle difficult topics. You don't need all the answers to find meaning in life, but you should be free to ask all the questions. This is Figuring It Out.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the show. This episode is going to be known as the cancer episode, affectionately.
Isn't that how Friends titles their episodes? The one with?
The one
this
with,
is the one with cancer.
The one with cancer.
I already feel...
Which is my new nickname.
That's your name in the group chats. Hey, look, guys, the one with cancer is texting us again.
The one with cancer loved your message.
I already feel bad about how I'm coming off in this. I would say, okay, wait, let me just say this before we even say anything, because I feel so uncomfortable talking about this.
Okay.
I'm sure you feel super normal about it, but every like 2 seconds when you told me, I was like stressed and sad. And then like 2 minutes later, I'd be like, that's so funny. This joke is going to be really good later.
Well, did you save up the jokes?
I don't remember any of them.
We'll try to pry them out.
No, I told you a few. I won't repeat them here. But I will say when you said, let's go grab cigars, I was like, I feel like smoking cigars after a cancer diagnosis.
Is the opposite of what you should be doing.
Yeah. Let's spread it everywhere. But I was not going to say that.
It was definitely a fuck it moment. I was just like, I'm going to just smoke
might
a cigar
as well.
Drink but anyway, some whiskey.
So just to let the record show, I've been very stressed about it. And I might be laughing, but it's because I'm...
It's because you're really hurting.
Yeah. It's a sign of my pain. Because really, ultimately, I think what we'll learn from this episode is this is all about me.
It's all about affecting the people around
you. It really hurt. And speaking of which,
it really is.
I told Jackie, because she was so stressed about it, I said, we're going to do Fireball once it's done. And you hate Fireball.
Yeah.
So let's celebrate.
So cheers.
So in an effort to make it not about me,
yeah,
you've chosen Fireball for the shots.
Yeah, we want to keep you grounded.
Yeah. Cheers.
Oh, sorry, Jackie.
Clink. Okay.
This is such a huge shot.
It's not small.
Okay. Whew. That was some coffee, huh?
So I felt a magic mind.
So good, though.
I felt a magic mind moment about to happen. And that would
oh,
hurt.
Oh, dear.
That would hurt with Fireball. Okay.
Probably won't be as gross looking as the matcha looked, at least.
Have you seen that JoJo Siwa clip? And listen, first of all, let me also say this.
Fireball. This is the first thing I ever got drunk and threw up on.
Oh, God.
And it's always burns. Lingered in my brain.
Let me also say this really quick before I say this. I'm very PC today. Before I make a joke, let me make sure you guys know I don't believe this. No, I am not a JoJo Siwa hater. Contrary to others, I'm excited to see the journey because she's in that weird Miley Cyrus moment.
Okay.
But she's doing some silly things. And the funniest thing ever was she was on stage because she's trying to do like the bad girl image now because she's breaking out like Miley did I think Miley did it really seamlessly in a lot of ways. Yeah. But she was on stage and she had a big bottle of Fireball and she's like dancing and she's like, and everyone's like, that's a wild reaction to Fireball. You gotta see the clip. But anyway, it's it was really funny. But I just thought of that just now because I did that. You also,
so you did that's a crazy reaction.
Yeah, JoJo overreacted, but then I also was like, hot. This is hot. Anyway, so cancer.
All right.
To it.
How do we start this?
Let's start from the beginning. Start from like what month you've, like what started all this.
Okay. All right. So for a while now, I was really kind of getting just like paranoid a little bit. And I think it's probably directly related to the fact that we have two young kids. Yeah. And we had just one too many friends that got diagnosed with cancer. Like just really young and out of nowhere, like seemingly very healthy people.
There's like three classmates or two?
Two that died.
Two that passed and
that's
two
what I thought,
others
but it sounded too,
it.
Like too much.
Yeah. It was especially but I was like, considering that like our school was our so school. Small. Well,
and you're 30. It's not like, oh, we're all 60.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You're 32? 31?
31. Yeah. She's 32.
Only for
you look 32.
30 more days.
Hey.
How old are you?
You didn't ask for how long.
You're 31?
I'm 32. I'm 8 months.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought you were older.
9 months older. Yeah.
So yeah, we had, and this was like, this has been over the last like 5 years. So we had one friend who was diagnosed. I think he went to remission and then it came back and he ended up passing at like age 27, 28. Mm. And we had another friend who's diagnosed with stomach cancer. And she was a nurse and she was very healthy and she just had a really difficult time like actually getting somebody to give her the diagnosis or and to even get the tests ordered.
Test, yeah.
So it took like months to even find out when they found out it was like stage three or stage four stomach cancer.
Which, again, the same thing like your friends have been telling you is like if you don't have an actual reason behind it, then they won't order the test. That's right. What even her as a nurse, like something is wrong. Please just do a test on my stomach. And they literally wouldn't do it. She went into three.
She asked them for the, because she was a nurse. She's like, I know the, like she asked for the exact test that she knew she needed in order to get the results she wanted to find out. And they were just like, oh, stomach ulcer or something like that. Yeah. So she ended up passing a couple years ago. Her name was Lexi. And then the other guy's name was John. And then there was a couple other friends, Kimberly and our other friend Price, who were diagnosed with cancer in the last couple of years. And it was just like, what is going on? I don't know what's happening. My friend Jesse Lee, who's a powerhouse marketer, speaker. It's just really, really cool person all the way around, very generous, loving, caring, giving, really just like a mover and shaker, like a true influencer who used that for good things. She got cancer, early 30s, and ended up passing from it a few months back. And so I was just kind of being paranoid and was just like, it's been a while, like a long, because I hate the doctor's office.
Add that to it.
Yeah.
I made you appointments and you just not went.
Yeah. For the doctor or the dentist, I hate anything, like mainly because they're usually just a massive waste of time and I have to pay them to waste my time.
And wait an hour for them to come into the room.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
And then say, you're good.
Right. And then for them to be like, all right, everything checks out. You're young and healthy. Keep it up. And it's like, okay, well, what am I doing here? It eventually just got to the point where I was like, I know I gotta go in. I have to make time to go in. But then some stuff messed up with our insurance. When she left her work to start, because she's starting this Everbowl now. Plug
the Everbowl launching opening in soon Las in Vegas. Summerlin.
Yeah. Yeah. So because of that, like since I own my own business and whatever, our insurance was through her work. And so when that got dropped, we didn't have insurance. And then there was like, it's always a nightmare to try to get back covered by some company and, you know, we're paying out of pocket and all these other things, all these other factors are happening. So there's like 2 or 3 month period where we just don't have insurance. And it was just like, can we get me in? We're not covered right now, whatever. We'll just keep putting it off. So finally, like I go into my primary care doctor and like the main reason I decided to go in was that my toe was bothering me because of all the running and
classic Travis,
basketball, running, everything that I do to stay physically active. I have really bad bunions and I got the first one fixed. My left one was fixed back in college when I got reconstruction surgery on my ankle. I was just like, you're already down there cutting up my foot. Can you fix the bunion too? And they're like, sure. So they fixed that. And that one's been great for the last decade. This one hurts like chronically. It's just all, it hurts almost every day, especially when I'm doing like any sort of real physical activity. And then I hurt it a little bit more playing basketball like 3-4 months ago. And it's just like, was never the same after that. So no. I was just like, you know, we finally got our insurance back taken care of. I should probably get this bunion thing fixed, but I need to go into my doctor because they're going to have to refer me out to a podiatrist to look at it or an orthopedic surgeon to look at it and decide whether or not it needs to have surgery or what the next steps are. And so that was the main reason I actually ended up going into the doctor was to be like, hey, can you check this out? But while I was there, I was just like, may as well get everything checked. Just like check it all. You know what I mean? Like I got these little like bumps on my head. Like, can you check those? Make sure that's all good. So I get a referral. So go to my primary care doctor. He sends me a referral to like dermatology, sends me a referral to the orthopedic surgeon, sends me a referral to this person. I walk away with like five referrals. At the very end of it, I just mentioned something like, oh, well, also like this part on my body just kind of feels a little weird. And he was like, and he didn't even look at it, didn't touch it, nothing. He was just like, okay, well, I'll refer you to an ultrasound. And that was like the very last second, like, oh, I totally forgot to mention this. Can you check that out too? And he was like, okay, cool. So he refers me out to all these different people. It takes a while to get all the tests done and the appointment set up and whatever. So there's a few weeks that are happening in between period. And then I got the ultrasound done finally. But what was weird about it is that the next day they wanted to jump on a virtual appointment with me. And so I was just like, okay, well, this is like the only thing that has been urgent in the entire like scope of work that's been done. And so we hopped on a virtual appointment. He was like, okay, so we got the ultrasound results back and it says they found several lesions, and he was kind of just reading through the results and was just like, I would not sit on this. I would not wait on this. He's like, I'll refer you out to the specialist that you can see. And you need to like, if they don't call you to schedule within the next 48 hours, like you need to call them, like stay on top of this.
Yeah.
So she, of course, being the ops manager that she is, like is very much on top of it. And she calls like the next day. And, this was like the end of June. Well,
it was mid June.
Okay. Yeah. Mid-June-ish.
Ops manager Jackie.
It was June 27th. It was June 26th. At exactly 11:34 a.m.
saying it was not end of June. It was crazy.
It was mid-June.
It was not. Yeah.
And the doctor had just told us like, hey, don't sit on this. We call in to make the appointment. First available appointment, August 17th. So it's like almost a full 2 months out. And it was like, wait a second. He just told us that this is like something we shouldn't sit on. Right. Now you're telling us the first time that you can even see me to go over the results from the thing that he already told me that I have, like, is 2 months out. Yep. Like, that's unacceptable. No. So like the next like little bit was just a freaking nightmare trying to deal with insurance and all this other bullshit.
Calling in over and over again and seeing the cancellations.
Right. And then we were on a walk and I was just like, so she got it moved up from August 17th to August 9th.
This was like every time I get the little bit forward. Yeah.
And then you're just like, all right, I guess August 9th is the soonest that they have. And we'll keep calling like a couple times, like once every couple days and see if they have any cancellations or whatever. But August 9th is soonest. And it was just like, I had this like just sinking feeling in my gut when we were on that walk. And I just remember like looking at her and being like, I'm so sorry to waste your time with this, but do you think that we can just like start calling around to a couple different clinics that also have specialists like this? Cause I had just have this like weird feeling that I don't want to sit on this. I want to wait. I want to like get it checked out, you know?
What was that for you? Cause like I feel like you're not that type. Like, what do you know what that gut feeling was? Or is it just your body telling you like, hey,
I think it was just that.
Or intuition like,
And it could have been totally like a placebo effect because I got told that there was like lesions.
Yeah.
It was just like, I just started feeling aches and pains that maybe I wasn't feeling before, or maybe I did feel them, but this is the first time I was assigning them to the fact that there was lesions there. Yeah. I don't know what it was. It was just like something inside me that was like, I can't just like sit around for the next 6 weeks, 7 weeks and just like, you know, if something's wrong, I want to take action immediately. And so we call to another clinic and tell them we have insurance, but we want to be seen as a cash patient if they'll just look at our results.
Basically.
Yeah.
They're like, well, we can't see you because you have insurance. And we're like, not even as a cash patient. Yeah. And they're like, no, we can't see you as a cash patient because you have insurance that and they won't cover here and you can't pay cashier. So we're like, okay, well, that's fucking ridiculous. Yeah. Call it another clinic. And this clinic, we just said, nope, we don't have insurance. We just want to be seen as a cash patient. So we just lied, said we don't have insurance.
If you're listening, you didn't hear this.
Yeah, yeah, you didn't hear this. Yeah, right.
They're like calling you tomorrow. We watched a figuring out.
Reporting. We're like, so we were like, yeah, we don't have insurance. Can you see us as cash patient? And they're like, we have an appointment in 2 days. So like on Tuesday or whatever. So like, okay, great.
Yeah.
So we go in, pay $250 to be seen outside of insurance coverage. And the nurse practitioner like walks us around the corner to the ultrasound, is like pointing out some things and just like, and at first I was just kind of like, okay, thanks for the information. But then when we started walking back, like the first time I had an inkling of what was about to happen was like when she just kind of abruptly stopped explaining the ultrasound. Cause I think she was like waiting for like a click to happen in our brains of like, she didn't want to tell us what was going on.
She wanted,
she was hoping
like,
that we would infer
this.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And so she was like, all right, well, let's go ahead and go back to the exam room. And I was like, okay. So we started following her. And then like we sit down and she just starts kind of talking as if she's already told me that I had cancer, but she hadn't yet. And like I said, I think she was very kind.
A lot of empathy to that, like her in that situation, any doctor in that situation.
Yeah, very much so. And she was obviously a very kind soul in that particular situation, trying to figure out a way to like tell me I had cancer without telling me I had cancer. And so like halfway through the conversation, I was just like, are you like telling me that I have cancer? You know, just like
just straight up,
gotta know, you know, what's going on here. And she basically just kind of, she kind of looked at me and she was like, yeah, yeah. And I was like, is there a chance that it's not? And she's like, there's maybe a 1% chance that it could be something different. But from what we've seen from the abnormalities in the ultrasound, this is what it is. And so I was like, okay, well, what do we do? So she's like, well, we have to schedule surgery immediately for the next few days to get this, you know, these lesions removed.
Yeah, she said, don't let a week go by without getting it removed.
Yeah.
It was like literally exactly what she said.
So oh,
like,
wow. Okay. Yeah.
So she was like, our surgery scheduler will call you. So, you know, so we go to check out. They check us out. And then surgery scheduler calls that day or the next day.
No, I called them.
Or she called them that day. And found out we have insurance. So they're like, we can't see you ever again. So you need to go to your whoever's in network for you and go see one of those. So we're like, okay, this is ridiculous. So we call back to the first person whose next available appointment was August 17th. We called them back to go see them. And now it's like, well, she's like, well, my husband was just diagnosed with cancer. So you're going to have to like, figure some out. Things out scheduling wise, because we're not just going to wait till August, you know, 9th now for this to go down. We got to do this sooner. And so they're like, oh, surprise, surprise. We got a cancellation. We have an opening tomorrow morning at 8:00 or whatever.
Which lesson learned on my side, if anybody is looking to get appointments, they do send out reminders always for the next day's appointment. So if you call at the end of the day, you're most likely to get into one of those canceled slots because anybody who has like got that text message will either not reply or cancel it at that time. So if you're looking to get an appointment at like for something like that, call at the end of the day because most likely the next day they'll have lots of cancellations.
So we go in the next day and my thought is that we're going in to schedule surgery. Like that's the main reason we're going in. And the doctor's just gonna be like,
so it's like a relief at this point. We're like, okay, we're good.
So we get in there and this doctor is totally aloof. Has no idea what's going on. We sit in, obviously like normal. We sit in the fucking room for 30, 45 minutes waiting for him to come in, finally comes in and then goes, all right, so what's going on? And I was like, you tell me what's going on. Like, I don't like, somebody told me I had cancer. So what are we going to do about that? Like, oh, I thought we were here to schedule surgery. You know, so I kind of give him like a quick breakdown and he's like, okay, well the ultrasound doesn't really tell us much. And I was like, what do you mean the ultrasound? Like the other
I literally asked him if he read it, remember? And he goes, oh, well, let me pull them up right now.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. He said it didn't tell us much. So she goes like, well, did you look at the images? You know, because like he was literally just reading like the synopsis on the paper that they give, like the actual like text synopsis. And it was
their
just like, oh,
GPT really summary of your case.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
But again, the first lady had like actually showed us the images and walked us through everything that
she
was
goes, did you look at the images? And he's like, oh, I haven't seen those. It's like, then why the fuck are you in this room right now, man? Like, no. You didn't do your like your fucking job for a half a second to be like, okay, this patient's name is Travis. Like, he's here for this.
It's literally like
let me look at these images.
It's like when you go on a podcast and like Travis Chappelle.
Yeah, right.
But
right.
But like way worse.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's but a like medical life or death situation. Yeah. It was insane. So then he
My
starts
palms
being
are
like
so sweaty just hearing the story.
He literally like starts being all like. He got up on his really high horse.
I'm a doctor. Got,
exactly. Because literally. The other lady was a nurse practitioner.
Which,
and so like, so he was like, so what? So we told him like, oh, she told me I have cancer. We have to get it removed like ASAP. And so he's like, well, she's not even a specialist. And like looks at us like that. And was just like, okay, but she works in a specialist clinic as a nurse practitioner. Like, I think she might know a thing or two, like, and maybe something to consider. So then, he was just like literally like being sarcastic. He
like
you
made
can tell,
a joke about yeah. what would we remove? Ha,
yeah,
ha, ha,
right,
ha.
Exactly.
Like, literally.
Like maybe like
the what?
Like what would we remove? Like ha ha. And Travis yeah, like what like, where the lesions are? Like what do you
like,
mean
what you,
where
yeah, what are you talking like, about? Like probably what? The tumors? Like I don't know. Like it's probably a good place to start.
Yeah.
Like he was just being a total sarcastic prick because he felt his ego was challenged because he came in not knowing anything. We told him that she knows more than he did, basically, and then he got offended.
Yeah. Which she did.
Because he didn't look at all the shit in front of him. Like look at the stupid like you have it in front of you, my man. Like it just happened 3 days ago.
Like flip.
And he's like, we can't really tell much from an ultrasound. So he goes basically like, well, we don't want to do surgery without having more information at this point. So I was like, okay. So now I'm up in the air. Now I'm like, do I have cancer or do I not have cancer? Because like this guy's looking at it and going like, I don't know. This other lady was like, you have to get it removed ASAP. So he orders 3 more tests. A blood test, a CT, and ultrasound. Another ultrasound, which I was like, wait, if you can't tell anything from the ultrasound, why are you getting another one done? You know what I mean? So like literally got another ultrasound ordered from the same place that I just went to 3 days before, got another one ordered. So I was like, all right. So I go in. So we, again, go to schedule all of these things. They're weeks out for CT, weeks out for ultrasound. She spends like 9 hours on the phone for the next like 2 days trying to get people to have some sort of urgency because the damn doctor didn't put stat as the status
on the
orders.
Then they like will make you wait at least
regular,
48 hours to
like,
schedule it.
Regular urgency on all of them. That is what that stupid doctor put on all of them. So like if it said stat, then they would all have like, you know, a pep in their step to get them on the schedule. But none of them did because he said regular in the fucking report or in the order. So like the next couple of days is just a scrambling to try to get appointments booked like in Las Vegas for like as soon as possible. Yeah. So it takes us basically the rest of the week to get all of those tests scheduled, which again, if she weren't on top of it as much as she was, like we could have been waiting for weeks just to get the test done, let alone looked at. And then when we left, he was like, just email me the results because my schedule is going to be full. It was just like, email? You can't even like jump on a phone call, man. Like, what are you talking
about?
Well,
and even he told us when he's like, I want to see them in a week. So we go up to the front. So it's like, Stanley's like, oh, he's nothing available for 3 weeks. So the next appointment's going to be this. Remember that? I was just like, what? Like, and then, yeah, then he walks up with a business card. I was like, yeah, just email me when the results are on. Like, don't you have staff to do this? Like, what do you mean?
Like also, we're not talking about like, you know, like,
I'm getting a bunion fix.
Yes. Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly.
You can wait a year and a half.
Yep. Oh, I have a sore neck or whatever. Right. It's like, we're talking about cancer here, dude. Like, what do you do? Like,
so again,
what's
at this point,
on?
We don't want this doctor. I don't want this doctor to operate on him.
Yeah,
like, that's
right,
the last thing.
So we get all the tests done. Email the results to the clinic, but then we request the clinic to send us to another doctor within the same clinic. And so we get an appointment scheduled to go see a doctor. And then the day of that appointment, the first doctor calls us and was like, hey, just looked at the results. We're going to have to do surgery. I was like, oh, no shit, Sherlock. Like, thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks for like finally doing your job. But we of course were just like, well, he doesn't know we have this other appointment with this other doctor that's here already. And we just, the experience with this guy was just so terrible that was just like, I don't trust you to be like opening up my body, sir. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so we kept the appointment with the other doctor, went in that day. He took one look at the ultrasound and the other test and was just like, yeah, we're going to have to operate, as soon as possible. So we go out to schedule surgery, and surgery was going to be scheduled 6 weeks out. 5 weeks, something like that.
Yeah.
And so keep calling. And then eventually, basically, some lady that was supposed to have surgery ended up getting COVID and couldn't come out for it. And so there's a cancellation.
What year is this, Travis? So
yeah, right.
COVID.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know how that affects your ability to get surgery, but apparently it does.
Yeah.
So she was out, and then they put me in that surgery slot. And then that second doctor ended up doing the operation. But it was just like, how much, first of all, how much money do we have to spend on doctor's appointments? Every time you go in, there's a copay. And then every time we went, and then when we went out of insurance coverage, it was, 5X on what your copay usually is. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're like $1,000 out just in tests and blood work at this point. And then finally we have like confirmation from three different specialists that like, hey, this is cancer. We got to get it, got to get it removed. And then finally ended up getting surgery and getting it removed. And so now we're basically at a point where they biopsied the tumor lesions that they took out of me, and basically we're just said it's early stage, and we're lucky we caught it early, and that basically at this point I have another CT scan scheduled, and if that comes back clear, then like I'm in the clear and I won't have to do anything in addition to just getting the surgery. Mm-hmm. So I should not have to do like radiation or chemo or anything else like that. So, in terms of like cancer diagnosis, like this is the best case scenario, like you get diagnosed and then you're done within a few weeks. So, by the end of August, we should for sure have like 100% either we need to move to this stage of treatment or like you're completely done. And I think like I'm optimistic that the odds are in our favor that it's going to be completely done.
Yeah.
And then it's just CTs every 3 months for the next year.
Yeah. And like every 6 months for the next 5 years or something like that, just to make sure it doesn't come back.
And not with that first doctor.
So we learned a lot. First of all, the medical system sucks.
Yeah. Well, it's, I told Jackie, I was like, because most people wouldn't even be able to afford $1,000 in tests.
Yeah, right.
Where it's like, it's always crazy to me. Like, and I told her when I first came in, like, it's crazy to me. If you don't have enough money, you'll literally just die.
Right.
Like,
right.
Like,
or enough like energy.
Right.
Like, the sheer volume of time that she spent on the phone fighting for me to get in and seen, like, a little bit of urgency is asinine.
If you're working at a McDonald's, like double shifts, and you can't be on the phone for 9 hours and you can't pay $250 for, but like, you'll literally just die.
Well, it'll just keep getting later and later stages. It's like, well, we could have caught it in stage one, but you've been sitting on it for 3 years. So it's stage three now, and it's spread into your lymph nodes. And like, it's a completely different story.
Yeah. Well, just being able to try to reach people in general, there's that one day when I literally just like, was on hold for like 20 minutes. And then finally just went into the office. I was like, this is ridiculous. Like, I cannot get anybody, because even the surgery scheduler.
Like, we just left the clinic.
Yeah, literally. Could not get anybody in the surgery schedule. I literally had to call her, email her, call her, because there's no way to actually directly reach her. So I had to leave her. I left like 5 MAs messages. Never once got a call back. Left the scheduler a message and emailed her and the doctor. Literally nothing at all. No response at all until she got to it. And then I was going to schedule it 3 weeks later. And I was like, no, he already told us that like July 19th was going to be the day. And she's like, oh, well, let me talk to him and see, though, because right now it doesn't look like he has it available. And I know, but he literally told us in the office, he looked at his schedule and it was like he was going to. And then did not hear anything from them until our insurance gave us like a nurse advocate on it. She called. And then magically that girl, thankfully, hopefully she's
okay. It's like, why should you even need that role? That's like, why do we need nurse advocates?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
wild.
Because they can press the button that says you're a provider and not a patient, and they can get direct line to people, which is ridiculous also.
Yeah. Like, can I have the button?
Thanks. Yeah, legitimately. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Exactly.
This show is brought to you by BetterHelp. It's a new year, which means it's time to write a new chapter of your life. And if you're someone like me, maybe the last couple of chapters have been a little bit rough here and there. Maybe it's time to finally experience a new plot twist, or maybe there's a part of your story you've been wanting to revise. Well, it's not going to happen just because you made a resolution that's going to fade by February. It's about picking up the pen and becoming the author of your own life. And I want to encourage you to think of therapy as your editorial partner, helping you write new chapters and create the meaningful story you deserve to live. Starting therapy with BetterHelp did just that for me. I was going through some of the biggest transition periods and toughest moments since starting this podcast, and having a therapist to bounce ideas off of and get the tools I need to live a better, more fulfilled life was so incredibly invaluable. It's not about just getting their system and their philosophy that you plug yourself into. It's about having an open dialogue and finding out what steps are best for you in your specific journey. I know my specific journey is extremely busy, and so that's why it's helpful that BetterHelp is fully online. It makes therapy affordable and convenient, and they serve over 5 million people worldwide. And the best part is they have over 30,000 credentialed therapists with a wide range of specialties to choose from, and you can easily switch therapists anytime at no extra cost. The first therapist I sat down with was not a good fit for me and my needs, and I went in the next day and scheduled an appointment with a different therapist who ended up being an absolute game changer for me. You can start writing your own story today with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/preacherboys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/preacherboys. Get 10% off your first month right now with BetterHelp. It's time to write your story.
Live on DAZN Worldwide.
Saudi Arabia.
Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern. Canelo versus Skull. The King stakes his legacy once more for the undisputed crown. Standing in his way is Warrior Skull, undefeated and poised to decimate the division on a knockout weekend of boxing.
Let's make history.
Get Canelo versus Skull, Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern, live exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
I mean, so like obviously the physical side is scary, but like mentally, like what was your reaction to the diet? Was it something where you're kind of like, I'm instantly stressed, instantly scared? Is it something where it was like, it doesn't feel real till you're in surgery? Like,
yeah, it was kind of shocking.
Yeah.
I think it, and then like, it's also at the same time, you know, I'm a guy and I'm like, oh, not super in touch with my emotions kind of a guy.
What?
And I know that's surprising to both of you.
Yeah.
Super surprising. Yeah.
But it's not even just that. It was like, you know, we've been through a lot of shit in our marriage and a lot of shit in our lives, just in like a condensed period of time. I think like just a lot of loss and different things that have happened. I was always just like, I'm used to just being the person to just like put on a face and forget about it and be kind of like, you know, the strong one in the situation. And in this particular situation, it felt like, I almost maybe even felt like that was it felt almost safer to me to enter into that zone again, because I knew she was freaking out. And
hey, I held it together though.
Yeah.
I did. Well, that was my version of being strong. I guess I'm not very strong. I waited until you were on your work call. And went
I know. I saw. Because I walked out and just her eyes are just like swollen shut, yeah. Basically.
Hey,
I was like,
me and like, Jackie, don't look at me. Me and Jackie strong as we cried once a day. You know,
like, just let it out once a day.
Only once.
Well, and then we go directly from the doctor to my mom's house because she was watching the kids during the appointment.
Because
we
had, you know, did you tell her there for the appointment that day?
So we told her when we got, cause she obviously knew that I was getting tested, you know, it was serious enough for us to have her watch the kids so she could come with me to the appointment. And so she was like, What happened? What's going on? And so I had to tell my mom like right after that. So it's like the two women in my life who care and about me the most that I'm trying to like not freak out more than I know they're already freaking out.
And you're so, freaking out internally.
Right. But I just think I didn't allow myself to even think about it. Like I just was thinking about whatever I could think about that would keep my mind away from thinking about that. Like I made like two or three sales for my business in like within 24 hours of the diagnosis. And I think it was just because I was just
avoiding it.
Yeah. Just searching for distraction and just not wanting to think about it. And then, so that night was the first time that I had like really thought about it. Cause like she's a morning person. I'm a night person. And so she always falls asleep before me. She's always up before me, for the most part. And when we, that night we were just hanging out. So we decide like that night it was like, okay, it's a crazy day, you know? And that whole day we're telling people that we felt like should know, you know? So we're just like texting people. And
is that the day you texted me?
I think so. It was either that day.
I feel
or the
like
day
it
after.
Was, yeah.
It was just, and especially people like you who are like, it affects our actual work schedules and stuff, you know? So like, you know, Joanna, I was, you know, had to jump on a call with her to let her know that like, hey, I think my call schedule might be a little funky for the next couple of weeks here. They asked me, they're like, yeah, is Travis okay? Because there's a bunch of doctor's appointments.
Yeah, I kept putting doctor's appointments on my schedule. And Joanna asked me and I was like, just let Travis tell
talk
you.
Talk to Travis.
Hey, that's how you told her.
Because we're on a call and she's like, I'm not trying to like be, because Joanna being Joanna, I was like, I'm not trying to like overstep. I just, is he okay? And I was just like, I really hope so. Yeah.
Joanna's like, Travis, you can't miss these calls.
Yeah. Joanna's like, can you move these doctor's appointments, please?
Sorry, Joanna, just kidding. No. Joanna's like, that's not going to work.
Well, move the surgery, okay? That's all.
If you had to put Joanna on the phones to call the doctors, it would have been like the next day. They would have been like, here, and we'll pay for it.
So it was basically that whole day was just like trying to talk to friends. And I kept all my calls that day. She actually told Joanna to remove all my calls that day. And I was like, no, keep the calls.
And I was like, oh, just kidding.
But I feel that way too. And not... Let me make this all about me. No, I feel that way though. When something bad happens is like, I have to either do that or I crawl into bed and I'm not going to get up.
Right.
So I relate to that feeling of like,
right.
Yep.
You know?
So it was definitely like this really big realization. Cause you know that this is true, but when it happens, you're in such a like different state of mind, like almost like your own little mini universe when that happens. It feels like you just got like pushed onto another timeline, you know what I mean? That exists.
And you're the only one that's for that there. Cause you've never been through it.
Right.
So it's like, how should I even feel?
And you're the only one that's on that time. Cause my point is to say that like life just goes on for everybody in your life. Like you open up social and it's still everybody doing the same thing that they always do. Everybody posting this thing and posting that thing and talking about this and talking about that. And then like all of a sudden, none of it fucking mattered to me. You know what I mean? Like even my own shit was just like, I all of a sudden don't care about anything other than like what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was a crazy realization of how much, which is why I kept the calls on my calendar. It's like life goes on regardless. Like I can't do anything about that. It's going to stuff still has to happen.
Yeah. Right.
And I can either choose to like crawl up into bed for the infinite future that I don't know when this is going to be.
Thanks for pointing at me with my coping. I could do the stupid thing that you do sometimes.
Well, I also do that sometimes. Yeah. Is my point. It's like that, but then that's an option.
Where it's like I'm just done this.
And maybe if I had like an end date at that time, I might have chosen that path. But like I knew that it was just like I don't know when this is going to be over. I almost have zero information right now about like what the next steps are or how long this is going to take or anything like that. I have no idea. So like just even saying the word cancer out loud or saying the word chemo out, like when I asked the doctor that, it felt so weird. I was just like, so am I going to have to get chemo? And I, like even saying that, I was like, wait a second, am I talking about chemotherapy like for myself? Right. Like that's super weird. So that night, we were just like, well, this has been a day. So we go out and we buy a pre-roll from the dispensary. And at the time, like we hadn't been smoking, like we smoked for a while before, but like we didn't smoking for a long time just because health reasons and whatever else. And so we were like, I think this is like a good time to restart that habit, you know? And so we went out and got a joint and, smoked. And then, like I said, she's more of a morning person. And so we get to the couch, turn on a show, like one of our favorite shows.
I've seen Jackie smoke weed at night and it just means good night, Jackie.
Yeah. Exactly.
The party's over.
Yeah. We'll see you in the morning.
Travis, it means the party's not going to end. And we're going to be sitting here talking about comedy for the next 2 hours.
True.
So we put on The Boys. Mm. Have you seen The Boys?
I haven't yet.
You have to watch The Boys. You would love it.
It's intense.
I'm not saying that for everybody watching this, because everybody watching
Mom
this.
Mom and Dad?
Yeah.
You gotta watch
it. My dad would really not like the Goonies. And there's a lot of people that probably wouldn't like it, but it's the most like creatively gory thing that I've ever watched. Show, I mean, movie, anything.
I can introduce you to some things if you want to.
Okay. Well, tell yeah, me that now after
I,
you watch
I,
the
I
want
to see it. No, yeah. I there's a meme and it's like this guy like all red faced, and it was like the Boys fans when there's not, or when there's storyline in between the gratuitous shot of dick and balls. Like, ah!
Yeah, anyway, it's a crazy show.
Yeah, yeah. It's been on my list for a minute.
It's definitely worth watching. But anyway, so I say
my mom
that,
said she's been watching it. I was like, what?
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's wild.
That's hilarious.
She's a little wilder though.
That's wild.
I was like, I don't want to watch it with you. Just say so you know.
Yeah,
just,
you shouldn't. Yeah, no. It would be awkward.
Sorry, Mom.
But yeah, so the show, for those who don't know, is just like I said, unmitigated violence, just like wild, crazy violence. And this particular episode happened to be where one of the main characters, like dad, is dying and he's in the hospital. Like oh, half Jesus, the episode's yeah. in like based in the hospital. And so she falls asleep. End of the episode is like him talking to his, like letting go, like the whole premise is him letting go of his dad. Yeah, it's one of those real scenes where like he's telling his dad like how much he meant to him and like all this stuff, and like the only thing I was thinking about in terms of cancer was my kids. And so like I was watching this scene, I'm high as a kite, like she's asleep, and now I'm like, then that's the last scene, is him saying goodbye to his dad dying, and then it goes black. And then that's the last episode. We're caught up.
And just
at the time, it's just me sitting on the couch at like 11 p.m.
Existential dread.
Totally. Yeah. She's totally by myself. And then finally just like allowed the thought in my head. And it was just like, what's happening? What do I do with this? And I can't explain like the feeling. It was just... I don't recommend, if you get diagnosed with cancer, I don't recommend getting really high and watching
The Boys.
Yeah. Especially not an episode.
Very specific example
with that exact plot or storyline. But that was the first time where I was really just sitting there being like questioning my mortality and thinking about my kids and getting all emotional and start, you know, tears coming down a little bit, and eventually kind of snap myself out of it and was just like, I gotta go try to go to sleep.
Did you put it in a category of like, because I know you said like the shock, but like when you actually processed it, did you feel this thing of like where it was like, I can't believe this is happening? Or was it more like this like nihilist, like, of course this shit's going to happen? You know what I mean? Like,
no, it was,
or was it
I
just
kind of
like,
happening.
This doesn't feel. Like,
I felt it was really ironic. Because I've been kind of unhealthy for a good portion of my 20s. I was like an unhealthy person. And then the last like year and a half, 2 years, I've gotten really serious about it and gotten to the best shape of my life. And then I got diagnosed with cancer. Like, it was like,
so
like
if you're listening,
11% body
don't
fat,
get healthy,
like gym every day, training for a 50 mile run, like all these things that I've been doing that are right. Yeah. Eating well, drinking the water I need to drink, like all those things are good. And then all of a sudden it's just like, oh, but now you have kids.
Well, that's what
pissed, like, wait, what?
That's what pissed me off when you told me was like, because like I said, I was like emotional when you told me.
I just texted you, right?
Yeah, you texted me, and it's not phone call worthy. Even that, it's like, no, let's not hop on the phone. No, but when you texted me, my brain always goes to like, of course, like,
yeah.
Another shitty thing. Thank you, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Anyway.
Just another mysterious way.
No, I was just like, fuck. And then, but I told Tara, I said, what makes this like even more shitty is that he's the healthiest person I know. and I was like, that's bullshit. Like it, cause I was like, all I was thinking in my brain is, I was like, this should be me. Like not, and I'm not even saying that as like a joke. Like I was just like, that's bullshit. Like when you've invested that much time. To be like, here's this uncontrollable thing.
Yeah.
And like, that's the thing that I like latched onto, like to be pissed about was like that thing. Cause I was like, it's that's like, doesn't make any sense. Right. And that's the thing that bothers me with this stuff is like, there's nowhere to categorize it.
Right.
Because it like when someone gets lung cancer that smokes, you kind of like, it's horrible.
Right.
But like you can sit there and justify like, well, You know, they knew the risks, or someone's liver fails and they were an alcoholic. Like, they knew the risks, they lived a good life, and that was their thing that took them down. It's like, with this, it's like, what the fuck? Like, there's no...
Like, what am I supposed to do about that?
Right. You
know? But it also was just a huge, again, one of those huge moments where it's like, I can do everything right, and at the end of the day, I don't have control over the things that I don't have control over. Yeah. There's just some things you don't have any control over. And cancer is one of those things. Like, it is no respecter of persons. Yeah. Doesn't give a shit how old you are, how healthy
you are. There's a lottery there doesn't somewhere. Matter. Yeah.
Yeah. Just doesn't matter. And maybe we'll find out more data soon, but like as of today, like the best science that we have about cancer says the most effective cure is early detection. And like, I cannot help, but like for a while I just like stewed on the idea that like, if I didn't force myself to go into the doctor mm-hmm. and do something that I hated doing, that I could just be walking around with cancer for the next couple of years.
The blood test, even like the blood test that you
don't
got.
Don't forget your.
Like even like going to like the blood test, like the blood test that you got. Before
the surgery, they ordered that second doctor ordered the blood test, a CT scan, and another ultrasound. Both the CT and the blood work came back like clear. Like nothing abnormal, nothing out of the ordinary. So it was one of those things where it's like, I could have just like been there for my physical, gotten blood work. They check for tumor markers. Nothing's there. And then they go, all right, you're good. Yeah. And I'd walk around with peace of mind.
Because your normal physical wouldn't have caught what you told them to check.
Right. Exactly.
And that's
what's scary about it. And that's like, I've had a lot of like my whole, when I decided to share it publicly, the main reason was this exact conversation to be
was
like
for the people that were,
I can't help but think that there's people that are like watching my stuff or following me and they know somebody or they themselves also have cancer and have no idea. And they wouldn't do it if they didn't have a reason to do it. And it was like, I didn't even have a real reason to like go in. It was just like, I want to get stuff checked out. And then if I did not do that one thing, or like if I had let the doctor not order that ultrasound at the end of that appointment, instead of like bringing it up again, like I said, it would be a year from now and it'd be stage three and it'd be in all these other places. And like, I would have gone in because I was in severe pain or it's like something crazy that was happening.
And it's way worse. And it's
And like, that's the point of cancer where like, you just have to cross your fingers, say your prayers and like hope that luck is on your side and like attack it from the chemotherapy, try to get your diet in order. You know what I mean? Like there's a lot of things you can do holistically as well, which is like, you know, something that I think a lot of people left untouched, unfortunately. But ultimately the best cure that we have right now is just early detection.
Yeah.
If you can get rid of it early, that's like your real fighting chance to be rid of it. And so that's hopefully the point I'm at right now. I feel really good about it. I feel optimistic that it's completely done. It's just like, since I know I have another couple of tests in order to confirm 100%, it's still like in the back of my mind.
In the back.
But I feel pretty good otherwise.
In terms of mortality, like there's like two things. And Tara was like, when she saw you get on the flight to Nashville, she's like, isn't this a sign to slow down? You know? And I was like, do you know Travis? You know? I guess my question is like on the existential side, because I know you've pondered that a little bit. Like, are you walking away from this situation with this feeling of like, oh, there's areas I need to slow down and embrace the existence part of, like, just be here, slow it down? Or was it more what you said, where it's like, life is short, I'm gonna just go hard? You know what I mean? Because like, I feel
there's a couple of things on this. First of all, it definitely made me like question my spirituality again. Like the first night, like I had this kind of like this kind of existential moment where like when I finally processed it, where like I had this instinct to like pray and ask for like some sort of comfort or relief. Yeah. But I knew that was the only reason that I was asking for it.
There's people watching
Yeah, I know.
I said that the second
he... I know.
Here comes the surprise. We're back, baby.
So I'm here to invite you to church.
Yeah. We're starting one, actually.
Yeah. No, I had this kind of it was such overwhelming, I don't know what to do, that I felt like the only thing I can do is this thing. And I ended up not really saying anything. I don't think I actually like said any words or anything. I just kind of like sat there and tried to be present or whatever that means. And then immediately like was drawn back to like my study on Stoicism, because that's one of their big tenets is like meditating on your own death and your own mortality. And it was the thing that I was like, especially when I was high, I was just like, I went so far down that path of just like, just deep, deep fear of not being here anymore and what that meant. And, you know, everything that comes along with that. I'm not talking about my kids cause I'm just going to start crying, but, it was it definitely like made me confront it in a very like visceral way. Cause like I've thought about it a lot. Yeah. Especially when it comes to like looking, looking at the Stoicism side, like I've thought about it a lot. And my, like, you know, people ask that question, like if your house is on fire, what would you go save? Like any items in your house, like what would you go find? The thing for me is, my grandpa gave me a copy of The Meditations, by Marcus Aurelius. And like, he has like a bunch of notes in there as well. And all of the notes that he's taking are notes on the parts about meditating on death. Cause he's 93, you know? And so, my point is just to say, like, I've spent probably more time thinking about that than most people my age. But when I thought about it in this context, it just felt so real. It was just like, this like could be it. Like people my age have been taken by this. Again, this is before I had any of the information about like what was going to happen next. But that was the one thing that I felt like I had a little bit of comfort in, is thinking about like a graveyard, walking through, if you've ever been to, a cemetery and you walk through and you look at like the headstones and you look at the dates that are on the headstones, and some of them, you know, if you go to an old enough graveyard with people that have been, or, you know, buried there in the 1800s, even when you start realizing like the person that died in 1883 was just as dead as the person who died in 2020. It's just like, that's an entire lifetime and a half that existed between 1883 and 2020. But that person's just as much gone as that person is. So I know that me being gone in 2024 versus being gone in 2084 has no bearing on human history as a whole, and does not affect like the way that I'm going to feel about it, because I won't be here. And I just kind of had this like moment of comfort and peace, like at that time, just like meditating on that and thinking about like, we only get a short amount of time here, like period, regardless. And I am pretty happy with how I've spent my time here to this time. Obviously I want more and I want a lot more time, but at the end of the day, it was just accepting that I don't have any control over it. I'll like fight my damn hardest to make sure that I stay on the good side of this. But at the end of the day, if something happens, like I don't have any control over that, and worrying about it, having anxiety about it and fearing it is only going to make the time that I do have left really shitty and not fun at all, which was the opposite of what I wanted. So I think like when I allowed myself to go like just deep into the darkness to its fullest extent possible, it was like, yeah, it was super scary to think about and it wasn't fun. But also when I came out on the other side of that, I kind of just felt this sense of like, what's going to happen is going to happen. And it's not my job to judge whatever happens in a positive or negative light. It's my job to make the most of what ends up happening. And I can't do that if I'm in this other headspace. So the only real option is to continue moving forward in this headspace. So yeah, it was very much like a confront your own mortality moment, but in a much more like real and visceral way than I've ever experienced before.
Hmm. What a perfect Travis way that would go through that. I know. As logical as possible.
I would have just stayed in the dark and been depressed.
That's what I'm saying. I just like the whole time you're talking, I'm like, how are you like that logical to your core?
This show is brought to you by BetterHelp. It's a new year, which means it's time to write a new chapter of your life. And if you're someone like me, maybe the last couple of chapters have been a little bit rough here and there. Maybe it's time to finally experience a new plot twist, or maybe there's a part of your story you've been wanting to revise. Well, it's not going to happen just because you made a resolution that's going to fade by February. It's about picking up the pen and becoming the author of your own life. And I want to encourage you to think of therapy as your editorial partner, helping you write new chapters and create the meaningful story you deserve to live. Starting therapy with BetterHelp did just that for me. I was going through some of the biggest transition periods and toughest moments since starting this podcast, and having a therapist to bounce ideas off of and get the tools I need to live a better, more fulfilled life was so incredibly invaluable. It's not about just getting their system and their philosophy that you plug yourself into. It's about having an open dialogue and finding out what steps are best for you in your specific journey. I know my specific journey is extremely busy, and so that's why it's helpful that BetterHelp is fully online. It makes therapy affordable and convenient, and they serve over 5 million people worldwide. And the best part is they have over 30,000 credentialed therapists with a wide range of specialties to choose from, and you can easily switch therapists anytime at no extra cost. The first therapist I sat down with was not a good fit for me and my needs, and I went in the next day and scheduled an appointment with a different therapist who ended up being an absolute game changer for me. You can start writing your own story today with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/preacherboys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/preacherboys. Get 10% off your first month right now with BetterHelp. It's time to write your story.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Just realize that nobody will miss you in 20 years. And I'm like, why? Why don't they miss me? That's the part that is the part that like I always hear, and I don't even like butting into the conversation that we're all in, but because it, like by contrast, anything that I'm thinking of in reference is like not the same, but it, I feel like the philosophy, and you know me, so you know like there's hypocrisy in me in saying that I like this, but that idea of like like when you're like people are gonna forget about you, yeah. Like the Hormozy, he talks about all the time. I know it's not original to him, but
yeah,
like that's been a huge encouragement to me of like, because I used to always be like, my biggest fear for forever, like even up to like a year ago, was like, nobody's gonna be at my funeral. Like I always think that, and then I was like, I'm not even gonna be there.
Yeah.
So like, why do I care?
Why am I worried about it? Yeah. But like, also it's the same thing that was like the, when nothing matters, you get to decide what does. And like,
yeah.
I think with something as arbitrary as like a diagnosis you can't control or like, it kind of sounds like what you're saying is like this idea of like, okay, I don't know how much time, I don't know what this is going to mean. I don't know what this means 6 months from now. Like I get to decide what I'm going to focus on in the next, you know, whatever length of time that is.
Yeah.
But yeah, what you just described sounds like terror to me. Yeah. I was like thinking, I was like, I know Jackie's not rocking with this either.
No.
My,
well, it's just, but it that is, was, that was what it genuinely felt like, was just like, if I spend the last, if I genuinely do, cause again, at this point I had no
you don't
idea
know
what's going on.
If it is going to be, right.
If it is my last 6 months on this earth, I don't know if it is or not, but like, if it is, I know that being in this mental space is going to make these last 6 months torture.
Yeah.
Versus being in this mental space is going to allow me to at least like have a good time, like go out with a bang. You know,
but again,
what I mean?
To like, be clear, I think that I make fun of you for because it's just
Jackie. Fun to make fun wrong of episode, Jackie.
Well, I was gonna say, but it, but
see,
I
she's
say
gonna roast.
I know this is ridiculous.
Yeah. No, I'm saying I know I said it jokingly that you were as logical as you've always been in like the hardest moment ever. But again, I think that's literally the best way possible to have dealt with that. Yeah. I just think most people, I don't know if me and Eric have the capacity.
We'd be the same.
To well,
you
be
and
as
I would be
about it.
The most unbearable cancer patients. Travis would be like, oh, fuck. Make it quick.
Oh, my gosh. But that's
I would
that
be.
Say.
I would be high crying in a puddle for the 6 months until time's up.
Yeah.
And Jackie would be right there next to me. Like, Jackie, you don't even have the cancer. And she'd be like,
I know. Hey, I snapped you out of it in Costa Rica, okay?
That's not the same.
You out of it.
That's not the same.
You know, your cancer reminds me of the time I got really drunk in Costa Rica.
Yeah. It was a similar situation.
You just had to go into the darkness.
I snapped you out of it.
I just had to go into the abyss of the blackout to really. Yeah, you had to black out.
Except
to...
the blackout. We're really, it's the same situation that we're describing.
You know?
Oh, my gosh.
Can you
no,
imagine?
I don't want to make it sound like I didn't like have that I wasn't scared out of my mind.
But, no, but, I don't think
but,
you did.
But
really
instead
did.
Of but instead of going like I'm gonna get higher.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Or
yeah.
Instead of saying like fuck that, I'm never gonna think about it, it's like you have to like let your mind go there, you yeah, know, in yeah, some yeah. ways. Yeah. According
well,
to your
well, I think you no. do in order to process all the emotions that you're feeling, yeah. like you kind of yeah. have to allow yourself yeah. to be like, all right, worst case scenario. Because that's like my go-to in basically any decisions that I have to make is like, what's the worst case scenario? What's the best case scenario? It usually ends up somewhere in between. But yeah. like, this was the first time that worst case scenario was like death.
Felt real.
In
yeah.
6 months, not being able to see my kids grow up. Like that was like a, that kind of fucking sucks yeah. As a worst case scenario. Like best case scenario is kind of ended up what it ended up like, you know, so far anyway, knock on wood, is
part
what it
two.
Ended up being.
Hey guys. This is so this exactly this podcast is like a microcosm of how I felt about all of this yeah, since yeah. you told me is like
same
is like you're like ha ha, ha.
My second yeah, as soon as yeah. I was done thinking of all these thoughts I was like this is gonna make for some great stand-up material
god I? You just were saying that and then all I was thinking was contrasting with Costa Rica. And I just can't believe you drew that parallel.
I like, only okay like, stop I only drew the parallel because you said that I would be crying next to you and I was just saying that I snapped you out of you crying in Costa Rica.
Imagine,
was literally my only point here,
imagine
okay?
you bandaging my foot in Costa Rica and like that's the equivalent. You
no,
know like
no,
I just kept that when you were saying like I was saying about my mortality and if I'm gonna see my kids again and then I'm like sitting there I was like I was in the bathroom getting my foot bandaged in Costa Rica and I didn't know if I'd ever get home. I didn't know if I'd ever be able to board a flight. You know?
The worst.
But Jackie, the common denominator is you are a rock star in any situation. Like
you were.
I remember you in the closet crying in Costa Rica
a
because
solid,
my
solid foundation.
Oh,
just a yeah. shoulder to cry on.
Oh man. So anyway,
for you to cry on.
I understand.
Yeah. But yeah, so
dead air.
Yeah. Not heavy material at all.
Yeah. So what's your like final thought? Let's not say final thought.
Final wish.
What's your final thought, Charles? My final wish is for you to like and subscribe. what's your final like takeaway? If someone's walking away and they've heard your story or they've, which they have. If they're at this point, they like skip to the end.
Just skip.
What's the point? Or they saw your post on Instagram. Like, what's your absolute, yeah, yeah. like, I hope people walk away with this. Like, it's worth me sharing. Cause I know you were thinking about not
yeah.
for a minute. Like,
what, I think I asked
what's like
you.
The final thing? Yeah. And I was like, yeah, let me decide for you.
it's to get checked. Like, I said, the first reason, like for me, when I was thinking about sharing or not sharing, the first thing was just like, well, I kind of live my life publicly anyway, and it's going to be kind of odd if I just disappear from a lot of stuff that I was supposed to be doing and don't explain anything to anybody. Like people are just going to think I'm like incompetent, you know what I mean? And like, that's like the opposite of what's going on here. And I had a couple of people like kind of reach out that I didn't tell like in the interim before I announced it, or people who like didn't even see it after I announced it, who were like upset because I didn't do something or like I didn't show up for
how
a call.
How satisfying was that?
After? It was honestly really like pretty low key.
Sorry, I missed our call. I had cancer.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I told you that.
Feel bad now.
I told you that for one of the calls or something. And I told her, I was like, you've never had a better excuse.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when VRBO tried to not give us a refund. And I was like, listen, yeah. I'm pulling the cancel card here. Like, I understand this sucks, but like.
Because we're supposed to go for Everbowl training to open up a franchise the same week that I had surgery.
Yeah.
So the VRBO Plug was trying
Everbowl
to not,
opening in Summerlin.
Yeah. The VRBO was trying to not like give us.
They were trying to give us a half refund. I'm like, listen, if any circumstance is like understandable, this is one of them. Like, I will send you the doctor's diagnosis here. Yeah. Like, give me my money back.
Jesus.
But yeah, I definitely pulled it a couple times with her. Like, she would say something about.
She was being a punk about it. That would be like, can you take out the trash? She'd be like, Jackie. I have cancer.
It was always trivial. Hey, babe, she'd be like, give me
can
shit
I pick
for, like,
the show on Netflix?
The smallest thing.
Yeah.
It could be my lash.
Yeah.
I was like, Jackie, I have cancer.
So that's so horrible. That's the worst person you could possibly do that to.
Who, her?
Yeah. But I told Tara that. I don't know if I said this on the episode, but here it is. No, I told Tara because like I would, because again, like I was in between, exactly, it's probably like this moment you're like, I'm gonna start crying. Fuck. And then there's other parts where you're like, this is funny. And then, but like, I told Tara, I was like, my comfort, because like every text I sent you basically till today has been like, or basically till I saw you out in public.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that was the first time I really like, which was, I found where you were and just ran into you accidentally.
Yeah.
And Doc Travis.
It really was an accident. Actually,
I was on a walk minding my business and Eric came out of nowhere.
It is weird that you were on a walk 30 minutes from your house in my neighborhood.
Well, it's right.
Yeah, that's more fair. Yeah.
It's like,
but it's like
by your gym. I know, but I'm just saying to his credit.
He drove to my neighborhood, went on a walk, and then had the audacity to say, Eric, what are you doing?
We ran into each other directly across from the gym.
Well, what's funny is I literally saw you and I had that thought like when you're out on a walk and you see someone, you're like, fuck, I'm going to get mugged. No, I literally was like, there's just some like, I thought it was Henry Cavill
because
you were shirtless. And
some,
I was like,
some really
I was
jacked.
Like, oh shit, Henry Cavill is walking. Are Hugh Jackman in shape for Deadpool? I don't know. But I felt like, I'm glad. Can I tell you honestly? This is 100% true.
Okay.
Because like I take my shirt off when I walk sometimes.
Yeah.
And then I saw you in the distance and I literally was like, I'm so glad my shirt's not off. I'm serious. I literally was like, God, I'm so good. Because I don't want to walk past this dude. Like, like. And then you were like, hey, and then I was like, oh shit, that's Travis. And I'm still glad my shirt was not off. but anyway, all that
that's
to say,
because I thought the exact opposite.
I'm glad my shirt's like, off. I'm still glad fat my shirt's fuck. Off. No, I legitimately, because sometimes like I've had times where I take my shirt off and then I walk past someone that's in like way better shape than me. And I'm like, and you can't put it on as you're walking past.
Yeah.
It's like right after you make eye contact.
Oh, hello, sir. I didn't know you were coming down this road. I turn into a 1800s. Oh, good day. But anyway, but I literally thought like, and then I was like, and then you're always like, are they going to be mean? Are they going to mug me? It appears that I have
broad daylight.
Green Valley,
yeah, Green Valley Ranch, just
a really nice
by the
area.
Resort.
Just anyway, a grown ass man.
And anyway, so then I saw, and it was like, oh, it's you. And then I was like, oh shit, what do I say? What do I do? And then, so anyway, all that to say, every time I texted you
before surgery,
no, after you had it. You showed me your scar, which I didn't ask you to do.
Yeah.
You're just like, but anyway, but all my texts through that, like, I would literally ask Tara, I was like, does this sound insensitive, too sensitive? Because, you know, all this stuff.
You don't have to worry about any of that.
Right? I know. But the thing is, like, I always filter stuff by, like, what I would take it as.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, oh, but that's what I was saying. This is such an ADHD rabbit trail. I saw you on a walk. Let's talk about that for 20 minutes. But I told Tara, I was like, my comfort in all of this is I know Travis would be such an asshole to me if I had cancer. And when I said that today in your kitchen, Jackie said, that checks out.
Yeah, yeah.
Without even a second.
Which frankly
like,
was...
Travis would be the worst friend to have.
Her comment was the more offensive one. Yeah. When you said it, I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
You're like literally pouring coffee and you're like, yeah, that would be him.
I was like, wait, what?
So... Anyway,
but it is funny. I feel like I will acknowledge that it has been funny. Everyone's different responses. Because again, most people just don't know how to deal with hard.
My favorite is when people are like, don't listen to the doctors. Go to this obscure website.
Absolutely, yep. They're like, you know, stop by.
Email Dr. So-and-so at junomail.com.
Junomail.
And people literally
ask me. I'm going to introduce you on Telegram.
Right.
Yeah. Someone literally asked me if Travis was going to die. And I was like, God, I hope not. Like, did you really just ask me that? Like,
I didn't have the wherewithal to not text you about. All I said was, I'll bring a shot next time there.
Yeah.
Which I did. But I was like, yeah, I was like, I know everyone. Because I just have seen too many situations where people are like, let me write the person going through it and be like, are you going to die?
Yeah.
or unsolicited advice, which I'm sure you've got tons of.
Yeah.
And then the people that are a little bit more conscious text the spouse, which I was like, I'm not texting Jackie Shed. Hey, Jackie, you're very stoic. Let me ask you a question.
I'm sure you're not going
to. So I just kind of defaulted to like, you know, I'm there.
Yeah.
You know.
Which but honestly, the love that was poured out was really incredible.
I was going to say, it's easy.
Where was
to
it
like,
before, motherfuckers? Just, you're like, I haven't heard from you since high school.
There was quite a few of those. But it's easy to disparage like the weird responses that you get. But
it's all coming
day,
from a place of
exactly,
love.
All of them, yeah. Exactly. All of them. And I genuinely appreciate everybody who reached
out.
Did
you have anybody that didn't reach out in a place of love? And they were like, about time. Did you have, you had like one enemy from school and they're like,
yeah.
I've been waiting for this day.
They were just friends with me to see my, to like, my demise.
I've been waiting. I had notifications on forever. No. I saw like a big outpouring of stuff you know, I again, like, I hope, you know, like there's people that care and, you know, it was a really weird thing to think about in like terms of what to say. But like, again, it was also one of those things. I think it speaks to you as a person is I was like, oh, he's got this. You know, like, I feel like, again, if I got it, I would be the biggest bitch about, like, of all time. Like, less things have happened and I've been shut down emotionally. But, like, when it was with you, like, you're one of the people where it's like, oh, he's got this. Like, I can't picture you dying. I legitimately, that's one of the things where I'm like, oh, it's like superhero Travis. He's cool, you know. So
I appreciate that.
Anyway,
it was interesting because it's kind of like a blast from the past, you know. Because I feel like we've lived six different lives.
Explain.
Well, that. I feel like we lived like six different lives. Like we had like grow up friends.
Oh, okay.
And we had like Fresno church friends, and we had Fresno
and they all kind
work
of intersected friends. Into this.
And then we moved to Vegas and had like water friends, and we had these friends, and we had podcast friends, and then I had business friends, and then. Co-work and like just all these different worlds.
That's
where
kind
of
cool.
Like people from everybody from every one of those things had like reached out to say something. It was just like comforting to see all the support. So I genuinely appreciate everybody who said what's up and sent a message, even if it was awkward.
Can I ask you one last question?
Yeah.
Because I want it on the record.
Go for it.
I gave you words of support.
Mm.
And in the comments of your Instagram post, Kendra Lust gave you words of support.
Who?
I had to look her up. I didn't know who it was. Whose words of support did you take to heart more?
Take to heart?
what do you...
Do you really want to know the answer to the question?
Yeah. He's deciding whether he wants to juice the joke or be serious.
Or be serious.
And it's never going to be serious.
Yeah.
No.
I actually was gonna. Oh wait, I'll tell you after though.
No. I was more surprised that Kendra said something than anything.
And he's gonna turn it back to make it positive about her.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Kendra, if you're watching, thank you. Anyway,
no, she's cool. We've been out with her.
I know.
So it wasn't
totally. I just thought it was so funny because I was like, oh, my words mean nothing now.
Yeah. Well, mainly that was true.
Mainly, yes.
You're like they'd meant nothing before.
It was
anyway.
It wasn't because of that it meant nothing. It was just. Because of the nature of our relationship, it meant nothing.
Ours?
Right.
Okay, yes. But that Kendra, just emotionally destroyed me for the next week.
I think I pinned her comment. I just wanted everybody just to
like,
see.
You're like cloud chasing on your cancer post. All right. Well, on that note, what are you guys watching, reading, listening to?
Obviously? Yeah.
No, I appreciate you sharing what you did. And again, like I was, I know that you were hesitant about sharing it publicly. So. I know sharing it was a lot, but thank you for doing that. And I know someone else found out they had cancer following the advice to go get checked, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a good thing. And I know, but I know it's also like you would have been totally justified to keep it to yourself. So
it was definitely something I went back and forth on for a while. Just like people look at you differently and stuff, but you also don't want to have people, I don't just didn't want people to feel like I was only doing it just to get attention and whatever. I was just like,
nobody's thinking that.
Yeah. Well, I know.
That was a very Travis thing you just said.
Yeah. Well, that's eventually the decision I ended up coming to, was just like, first of all, if they do think that, I know that's
fuck them.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I kind of know, like, I personally know my intention behind it. And it's not that. Mm-hmm. But also secondarily, it was just like, if this happened to me, I feel like it doesn't care. It doesn't care about what decisions you make on a daily basis. It can just come for you. So, it was a bummer to see, but also encouraging to see that somebody saw the posts, showed it to their friend who was like young and healthy to be like, hey, you should go get checked. You know what I mean?
No.
And then he went and got checked and found out he had prostate cancer. Young, healthy guy. That wouldn't have gotten checked otherwise. So that, like, if again,
that makes it worth it.
It makes it worth sharing for sure. And also makes it worth like shouting it again one more time for everybody watching and listening, like, do what you can to get checked. Like, if your primary care doctor is refusing to do these things, there's other like cancer detection clinics that you can go to. There's tests you can get in the mail. There's like MRIs that they'll do like a full body scan and test for like 13 different types of cancer. If it's not covered by insurance, it's going to not be cheap, but also like a couple grand in exchange for like peace of mind that you're going to be around for a while is, it's probably worth throwing on a credit card. So
sure.
But yeah, go get checked. Don't just sit around and wait for it. Even if you feel like you're fine, go get checked. That's the main thing.
We're glad you're okay.
Thanks, babe. And hopefully Kendra's glad I'm okay.
You're so stupid.
Thank you for listening to the Figuring It Out podcast. If you appreciated the content on the show, be sure to leave a 5-star rating and review, and subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. For more information about the show, visit www.figuringitout.tv or connect with us anywhere on social media with the handle figuringitout.tv.
Live on DAZN Worldwide.
Saudi Arabia.
Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern. Canelo versus Skull. The king stakes his legacy once more for the undisputed crown. Standing in his way is Warrior Skull, undefeated and poised to decimate the division on a knockout weekend of boxing.
Let's make history.
Get Canelo versus Skull, Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern. Live exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com.
Plan on flying? It's time to upgrade to a real ID. Because in order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID, or you'll need another acceptable form of identification. So don't wait. Find out how to get your real ID at tsa.gov/real ID. That's tsa.gov/real ID. Or visit your local DMV. And then you'll be cleared for takeoff.